For compliance practitioners, the stakes could not be higher because these violations carry significant legal enforcement risks and real reputational damage. A company cannot afford to engage in trade activities that undermine the United States' national security. We need to keep a close eye on DOJ's activities as well as the appropriate agencies. DOJ is quickly building this criminal enforcement program, closely coordinated with the sharing of information among the regulatory agencies. Watch out. What was once the province of the FCPA is quickly being replaced by acronyms relating to trade compliance and regulatory cooperation with DOJ. Notwithstanding this new environment, however, we are facing many well-known risks and need to embrace well-established mitigation strategies. Due diligence, transaction monitoring, audits, reviews, and other common practices that we are all familiar with. In reviewing the Cadence case,
global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Hello, everyone. Mike Volkoff here for another podcast episode. Today, we're going to talk about the DOJ settlement with Cadence Design Systems, an important trade enforcement case that basically shows us again where DOJ is going and what the new model is. It's a very, very important case following on the Unicat case, which we had talked about a couple of weeks ago. So what's clear is that DOJ's initiation of its aggressive trade enforcement strategy is quickly unfolding. And the new strategy is a real and significant threat to all companies engaged in international trade. We are no longer in the era of FCPA enforcement. We are entering the new world of aggressive trade enforcement, which is pinned closely to national security issues. Few companies have recognized this fundamental shift in DOJ's tack, and even fewer have modified their compliance focus to mitigate these new and significant risks. It is only a matter of time until we'll see the new paparazzi replacing the FCPA paparazzi putting out alarming announcements and headlines seeking to scare companies to invest in compliance. Proactive companies with well-established risk management processes are already addressing this fundamental shift, recognizing the rising risk of trade enforcement. At the same time, these companies are adjusting proactive anti-bribery compliance tasks and monitoring functions to accommodate this new reality. The shift should be minimal, but it is yet important. So back to the latest DOJ-led trade enforcement case. Last week, the Justice Department announced that Cadence Design Systems, and I'll call them Cadence, a global electronic design automation technology company, and it's called EDA, Electronic Design Automation, based in San Jose, California, agreed to plead guilty. Notice the plead guilty, not DPA, not NPA, to a conspiracy to violate export control laws by selling EDA hardware, software, and semiconductor design intellectual property technology to the National University of Defense Technology, NUDT, which is a university in the People's Republic of China, PRC, and is controlled and run by the PRC's Central Military Commission. And it was added to the U.S. Department of Commerce's entity list in February 2015 due to its use of U.S. origin components to produce supercomputers believed to support nuclear explosive simulation and military simulation activities in China. Under the plea agreement with DOJ, Cadence agreed to pay a criminal fine of nearly $118 million. As part of the settlement, Cadence resolved civil charges with the U.S. Department of Commerce, Bureau of Industry and Security, BIS, and agreed to pay over $95 million in civil penalties. DOJ and BIS agreed with each other to credit a portion of the fines and penalties paid to each other. In sum, Cadence agreed to pay, in aggregate, net criminal and civil penalties and forfeiture more than $140 million. Now, DOJ and BIS cited the fact that Cadence exported important semiconductor design technology to a restricted PRC military university using a front company. Reflecting the important national security concerns, they are committed to aggressive enforcement to protect the U.S. semiconductor industry, but notice, and the national defense. Applying the corporate enforcement policies, the Department of Justice cited several factors, including Cadence's failure to voluntarily disclose the misconduct, the nature and seriousness of the offense, Cadence's willingness to accept responsibility for the actions of its employees and agents, including its subsidiary, Cadence China, and Cadence's efforts to remediate the root cause of the offense conduct by enhancing its export control program. Cadence received partial credit for its cooperation with DOJ, which involved collecting and disclosing relevant evidence, facilitating interviews, making detailed factual presentations, and agreeing to toll the statute of limitations. But notice, Cadence did not receive full credit because it failed proactively to obtain and disclose to the government various relevant communications, and it failed proactively to facilitate interviews of certain China-based employees with information relevant to the offense conduct. Accordingly, the amount of the criminal monetary penalty reflects only a 20% reduction of the statutory maximum fine. So let's look at the violations themselves a little bit and dig into the activity and just a few observations. Criminals are just not as smart as they think they are. There's nothing so unique that elevates a scheme into the ethereal world of brilliance. The schemes get to be kind of typical, and the means by which they are executed are often fairly obvious. And you'll notice in here the use of third parties and fronts as a way to somehow disguise connections and liability is nothing really new. In most white-collar cases, criminals are often sociopaths or worse, psychopaths. But a sociopath carries a narcissistic hubris and a mistaken belief that their criminal scheme is somehow distinct, and from their perspective, unique and undetectable. Often, when exposed, they have long-winded explanations surrounded by blanket denials of wrongdoing. The Cadence settlement incorporates these observations. The perpetrators built a rinky-dink scheme that was bound to be exposed. And the way this investigation started was BIS issued a letter of inquiry to Cadence and raised concerns about the third party they were using. From February 2015 to April 2021, Cadence and its indirectly owned and wholly controlled subsidiary in China, Cadence Design Systems, or Cadence China, conspired to provide EDA tools to the prohibited entity NUDT, a Chinese military organization, through Central South CAD Center, CSCC, which is an alias for the National University of Defense Technology, and another associated entity, Phytium, Phytium technology, without the requisite licenses from BIS. Specifically, Cadence China, and their employees exported, re-exported, and transferred in country U.S. origin EDA tools to CSCC, despite having knowledge that CSCC was an alias for NUDT. As a result, Cadence and Cadence China exported and caused to be exported EDA tools at least 59 times through September 2020, when Cadence terminated Cadence China's business relationship with CSCC due to its association with the National University. Now, Cadence admitted that Cadence China employees installed EDA hardware on the National University's campus and that National University personnel downloaded EDA software and IP technology from Cadence's download portals, while Cadence and Cadence China, through its employees, had knowledge that the National University had been added to the entity list. On February 18, 2015, the same day that the National University was added to the entity list, Cadence Export Control Officer emailed Cadence and Cadence China employees that National University had been added to the entity list, quote, meaning that export licenses will be required if sales are made, close quote. Further, in March 2016, a Cadence China employee authored a presentation for a quarterly sales review meeting with her colleagues, stating that as of February 18, 2015, the U.S. Department of Commerce had embargoed four national supercomputer centers in China, including the National University, due to the U.S. microprocessor chips being used in the Tianhe supercomputing systems believed to be used for nuclear explosion simulation. Cadence also admitted that its employees who conducted work at CSCC's location on National University's campus knew about connections between the CSCC and the Chinese military. Cadence China employees did not disclose to other Cadence personnel, including Cadence export compliance personnel, that exports to CSCC were in fact intended for delivery to the National University. For example, in May 2015, a few months after the National University was added to the entity list, Cadence's then head of sales in China emailed colleagues cautioning them to refer to their customer as CSCC in English and National University only in Chinese characters, writing that the subject was too sensitive. Further, in October 2019, a Cadence China employee instructed another to recall and recirculate an updated version of a weekly email on Cadence China's customers in China. And the updated email removed any reference to China, the China military, in relation to CSCC, as was originally written. Employees of Cadence's subsidiaries, including China, involved in sales to CSCC, also received sales commissions that incentivized achieving sales quotas as part of their compensation packages. Further, in October 2020, while Cadence and Cadence China had knowledge that items previously sold and exported to CSCC had in fact been exported to the National University in violation of U.S. export control laws, Cadence consented to CSCC's assignment to FITM, a semiconductor company closely associated with CSCC and the National University, of the contracts for Cadence EDA tools. Prior to the transfer of that business to FITM, Cadence business with CSCC included contractual agreements with FITM reflecting FITM's ongoing collaboration with CSCC and the National University during the time period when CSCC was used as an alias. And Cadence, through its subsidiaries, including Cadence China, they had knowledge that the business with CSCC involved FITM and that National University personnel were affiliated with FITM. Some of Cadence China's contracts listed FITM as the contractual party and stated that the work would occur at the National University. And internal communications show certain Cadence employees understanding that relationship and that they were basically the same entity. And in March 2021, Cadence finally placed FITM on export hold as a result of an internal compliance review and discontinued transactions with them. Well, let's take a step back and talk about where we are now, because this is the new era. A fundamental change has occurred long in the making. And I guess, you know, I've been an early proponent of that national security and trade enforcement have coalesced to basically elevate trade risks. It also puts a company in a very difficult position of defending itself when there are national securities issues at stake. Sanctions and export controls violations will be prosecuted aggressively by DOJ with the support and coordination with the relevant regulatory agencies, OFAC, BIS, and with regard to military items, DTCC. Now, my focus is not to instill, and everyone knows my approach here, is not to instill fear and knee-jerk reactions, just to alert, but to alert compliance professionals of a new reality and environment where national security and criminal prosecution merge. For compliance practitioners, the stakes could not be higher, because these violations carry significant legal enforcement risks and real reputational damage. A company cannot afford to engage in trade activities that undermine the United States' national security. We need to keep a close eye on DOJ's activities as well as the appropriate agencies. DOJ is quickly building this criminal enforcement program, closely coordinated with the sharing of information among the regulatory agencies. Watch out. What was once the province of the FCPA is quickly being replaced by acronyms relating to trade compliance and regulatory cooperation with DOJ. Notwithstanding this new environment, however, we are facing many well-known risks and need to embrace well-established mitigation strategies, due diligence, transaction monitoring, audits, reviews, and other common practices that we are all familiar with. In reviewing the Cadence case, it's obvious that these basic practices and controls were ignored or not even in place. Let's take a look at some of those issues. First, Cadence sought to deliver sensitive technology to a prohibited entity by using an alias for the prohibited entity. By injecting this false entity in the transaction, Cadence employees who were well aware of the prohibition used initially CSCC, an alias for National University, and then subsequently switched to another associated entity, FITM, to complete the transactions. Basic due diligence and transaction screening, beneficial ownership and affiliations would have flagged these transactions as involving prohibited entities. Red flags permeated all of these transactions, and a robust trade compliance program with escalation requirements would have identified these for heightened scrutiny and eventually barred the transactions. A second glaring issue is the absence of any commitment to a culture of ethics and compliance, particularly with regard to Cadence's activities in China. Cadence and employees in China were well aware that they were prohibited from engaging in these transactions. Nonetheless, who was pushing it? The Cadence sales personnel, who disguised sales to the National University by using Chinese characters instead of English. Sales review emails omitted any reference to the sales to the Chinese military. Cadence's trade compliance efforts appeared to ignore the seriousness of this new prohibition starting in 2015. There was training, but what we're not seeing is follow-up and follow-through. There, for example, was training that was conducted, but we don't see any sort of evidence of audits, transaction monitoring, or testing, or any reviews whatsoever. During the relevant time period, Cadence employed only one export control compliance officer, and therein lies the problem. This compliance officer provided regular training to employees who eventually ignored known prohibitions against sales to the Chinese military. Starting in 2020, Cadence, though, expanded its export control program in response to the violations and hired additional personnel, formalized its training program, and enhanced its screening program. And according to the government, Cadence now has an effective compliance program. Interesting case, folks. We're in a new era. We're going to try and schedule a webinar on this in fall to catch up with all the enforcement actions, Unicat, Cadence, and other export control and sanctions enforcement cases. All right, folks. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week for another episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.